Hey, so have you ever wondered where the president's paycheck comes from? 'Cause, me too.
One, two, three, let's go!
What it do be doing these streets? How's it going, you beautiful people? Welcome back to Kyle Talks, where I'm Kyle, and we talk. So good to talk to you guys. How are you doing? It's a great day in the KT studio. For the uninitiated, what does that mean? The Kyle Talk studio. Thank you for coming in today. The sun is shining. Our chest is out. We're feeling good. We're not playing by the rules. And before this episode even starts, I would never hurt myself. I am sane. I'm just throwing it out there because the government is going to be looking at me. Probably not, but hey, you can always cover your bases. So good to talk to you guys today. Can I be honest with you real quick before we start? You guys know I love talking to you before we jump into it. It's kind of like my creed. You know this. Don't act surprised. I wasn't feeling the most motivated to do an episode. But you know what I did? And this is true. This is true. You can fact check me on this. I went and looked at my old notes. And I'm like, Kyle, just because you don't feel like you're going to cave into your feelings every time you don't feel like doing something. And you ever been convicted by something you said, but like in the past, and then someone like tells you, and then you're like mad at them, but for like no reason because you said it? Well, if you haven't, you're lying. But yeah, that's me. That's actually me right now. So here we are though, after surrounding myself with great counsel, I have a banger. And I'm gonna repeat that, so maybe some of y'all didn't hear me. Banger of an episode for you guys today. Today, we're continuing our series of Business Of, where we deduce big companies who offer money for services and stuff. And we talk about, how do they earn their money and stuff? And who's buying the stuff and services they give? And why are we giving them money? Last episode, if you have not heard it, go listen to it. I say this for a lot of episodes because I guess I only produce bangers. I don't know. But the Business Of healthcare, great episode. Got a lot of great feedback on it. And it's time to revisit it because it's time. You've already clicked the title. You know what this is. This is the Business Of the government. Now, usually I do a boss question, which is before opening show. We have a lot of content I have to get through today. And I want to make it fun. And so we're going to have a conversation next episode. Today, we're just going to go straight into it. Let's start about what the Business Of is. Business Of focuses on companies who offer stuff and things for money. What are they offering? And who is buying these stuff and things? Is it necessary for our overall economy? Is it good for our overall economy? That is what we're talking of. And to jumpstart this episode, we're going to start with definitions. My aunt would be proud because she loves statistics and she loves definitions. Auntie Shanda, let's jump into it. What is Webster's definition of business? Here it is. A usually commercial or mercantile activity engaged as a means of livelihood. That's what business means. You got to stay afloat by getting Benjamins, by sending some on Cash App. That's what business. So today we're going to focus on the business of the U.S. government. This is going to be a big one. This, I learned a lot. And you might not want to learn this because the man might be coming for you too after learning this. But let me jump into the overall what we're doing today. So we're focusing on the livelihood of the American government. Now, let me caveat this. The American government, if you live in America, even if they offer bad services or products, you can't escape it because you live here. There's two guarantees in life. You're going to die and you're going to pay taxes. So keep this in mind. You can't We're focusing on just the revenues, how the government makes their money. That's the whole focus of this episode, because you might be wondering how these public officials and stuff gets funded and where our tax stuff goes. We're going to talk about all of that here on how they make money. Now, we're going to answer and talk about questions concerning the business of the government. Like what? Great. Thank you for your ask. I'll tell you right now. We're going to talk about how much money does the U.S. government make a year? Where do public officials get their paychecks from? Who even provides government services, and are they any good? And this might be getting too fringe territory, but the ultimate question that I'm not going to answer and leave you to decide is, does the U.S. profit on its own people? There are two major focusing points this episode. And we're going to focus solely on these. Now, we'll remind you throughout the episode, because this can get very political commentary. And you guys already know how I do over here on Kyle Talk Studio. We like to keep things red, blue, green. Money is money. Don't get it twisted. And here he goes. You know what I'm going to say? Don't make it weird. So there's 2 points that we're going to focus on this episode. One, how does the government generate revenue? And 2, what services are offered for this revenue that they're generating? Also, one more piece of information before we get set up today. Of course, we will discuss some side effects of these questions. Naturally, social commentary, political issues, political commentary. Naturally, just because the way this beast is formed, those things might come through and through. But I want to make sure the focus today is on how the government makes money and what services are offered. A little dramatic effect there. Just to make sure. There might be some commentary here and there, but the point of this episode, we're gonna learn how Uncle Sam makes his Benjamins, y'all. That's all we're doing. Also, all information I reference will be linked in the show notes. Please, I say this in Phycotomy, if you listen to Phycotomy, please take some time. Don't take my word for it. Go to these links. They are valuable information. Go there, read them stuff. We got some articles from MBA candidates in there. We got some articles from Uncle Sam himself in there. We got some commentary that I used from a financial point of view, articles in there. Good reads. You'll educate yourself greatly. Please take some time and read those and don't be like, well, Kyle said this, so I'm going to believe it. No. We don't do that around here. That's not what we do. Always do your own research. So, guys, are you ready for this? Lock your doors, turn off your mics, turn on airplane mode on your phones, because you don't want the man listening to this. Let's jump into it now, the business of the U.S. government. First point, we're going to talk from a bird's eye view. So these numbers that I have right here, there's going to be lots of numbers in this. I'm not going to tell you number for number because you would be bored, I'd be bored, and I wouldn't have an audience anymore. So we're going to make this fun. All these numbers are from the Federal Reserve's website. If you're not sure what the Federal Reserve is, let me tell you, they're the money managers of America. So the people managing America's money, they put out these stats. Let's jump into it. In the year of 2022, the government collected blank dollars. I'm gonna give you like 2 seconds to guess how much you think they collected in the year 2022. 4.9 trillion dollars. So far in the current year of 2023, the government has collected a total of $1.7 trillion, which about tracks out because it's about 3-4 months into the new year. So that number kind of adds up to what they got here, what they made last year. In the year 2022, the government spent, how much money do you think they spent? Let's wait for it. 6.27 trillion, creating a deficit in spending and accounts receivable. What does that mean? Yeah, so imagine you're running a lemonade stand and your mom's going to pay you $5 an hour. And then you go out and you're like, man, this is really nice glass. Whoa, these cups are really nice. This would be a nice chair to sit on as people buy my lemonade. And you go and spend $30. And imagine that's all the money you made. You worked for one hour. You made $5, but you spent $30. You, my friend, are in debt. That's, in layman terms, what's going on with the U.S. government. The primary sources, now you may be asking, how does the U.S. government create money? Where is this money coming from? Great question. You're a thinker. I'll tell you right now. The primary sources of revenue for the U.S. government are individual and corporate taxes. Taxes that you pay, the taxes that Apple pays, the taxes that Microsoft pays. They're all dedicated to funding Social Security and Medicare, the taxes that come from those as well. This revenue is used to fund a variety of goods, programs, and services to support the American public and pay interest incurred from borrowing. Revenue is measured in a year. That's it. So, folks, let's break those numbers down. 2022, the government made 4.9 T-daddies. I think that's the first time and last time I say T-daddies for trillion. They made 4.9 trillion and they spent 6.7 T daddies. I lied to you. 6.7 trillion, creating a deficit about 1.4 billion. You remember, if you don't listen to Viconomy, remember in Viconomy where we talked about, like, how they raised the debt ceiling? Do you see why now? In addition to taxes, government revenue also comes from customs duties, leases of government-owned land and buildings, and the sale of natural resources. Man, we're selling hot dogs and hamburgers to other... Wow! Maybe America's great! Wow, I didn't know we sold hot dogs and hamburgers. Wow! Licensing fees and payments from fines. So you're telling me the $150 I paid for a parking ticket went straight into the government's revenue? The U.S. government is suspected to make $6.2 trillion in 2023 and spend $4.9 trillion as well. That's the overview, folks. They're making trillions a year. The U.S. government makes trillions, and they make it from taxes on both corporate entities and individuals. That's how they make their money. Now, let's dive a little deeper into, that's your bird's eye view. Let's dive a little deeper into where, where does this money come from? So we're going to break it down in three different points. Where does this money come from? The three biggest contributions to federal revenue, America's money, Uncle Sam's bank account, comes from individual taxes is one, Social Security and Medicare taxes as two, and third, corporate income taxes. Mind you, please check the link in the description that breaks this down, and I got this information. They do it in circles. You ever seen a circle graph? This is one of them. I'm kidding you not. You look for it yourself. It's in the show notes. The individual taxes is like literally a thick, imagine the thickest pie pizza you've ever seen, and times that by 50. Over, like, we're going to talk about numbers. Little spoiler alert, 51% of the U.S. income, the business they run in, the hustling for, comes from you, me, people working regular jobs, paying Uncle Sam. 51%. Social Security, the circle is like a little smaller. And then comedy, the corporate income tax is like the smallest. I call it the donate it to charity slice. You know what I'm talking about? Like when you get some money, you hit it big or something, and then like, oh, I got to donate some to charity. You donate like a few bucks. Let's call that the donated to charity slice. That's surprisingly, that's where that comes from. Anyways, where does all this federal revenue come from? Well, I'll tell you. If you lived or worked in the United States in 2022, talking to you, not the guy from the Netherlands, you, unless you came to the United States and worked. I don't know if you did last year. You mean DM me and tell me. But unless the guy, you from the Netherlands, you don't have to worry about this. But if you lived or worked in the United States in 2022, your tax contributions are likely majorly part of the $4.9 trillion collected in revenue. The federal government also collects revenue from services like, wait, have you ever been to a national park? They collect it from there too, and custom duties on foreign imports and exports. So, what's an imported good? I should have looked this up. It says make reference. I didn't fill this in. I have failed you. You know, you tell me, what imported good do we have? You tell me. Tell me right now. Oh, that's imported? Nice. So they pay for that. Yeah. What you just said. Yeah. That gets paid for. That's where this money comes from. The majority of this revenue is used to pay for government activities like employee salaries and infrastructure maintenance. Wait, infrastructure maintenance? That's crazy because there's still plenty of potholes in LA, as well as to pay for goods and services provided to United States citizens and businesses, like we talked about. National parks, the stuff like that, your park rangers, your park deputies, Yosemite Park is beautiful park, actually. A lot of beautiful parks. Continuing on, what else happens? Where else do they make this money? Most of the revenue of the U.S. government comes from contributions from individual taxpayers, small businesses, and corporations through taxes. Also, tax revenue consists of excise tax, estate tax, and other taxes. I need you to go back and count how many times I just said tax. Let's just think about that for a second, huh? Let's just go back and think about how many times I just said tax in like 30 seconds. That's kind of crazy. So far in fiscal year of 2023, just means 2023, individual income taxes, wait for it. I hope you're sitting down because you're going to want to stand up, have accounted for 51% of total revenue, while Social Security and Medicare taxes made up for another 36%. Who was it that said tax to death? Was that George Washington or... I honestly don't know. I'm not trying to make a witty comment. I honestly don't know. But yeah, where does this money come from, folks? Well, you guessed it. Taxes, taxes, and wait for it, more taxes. Let's jump into it a little more because we want to understand where this money comes from. It's a made-up tax of different sectors, individual, corporations, all that. Let's continue. The government also receives revenue from payments to federal agencies, like the U.S. Department of the Interior. I have a question for you. Have you visited a national park recently? You have? Which one did you go to? Oh, that's sick. No, I went to Yosemite a while ago with some family. But you haven't been. But hey, did you know when I paid that and you paid when you just recently went that your national park entry is included in government revenue? Yes, it is. Other agencies generate revenue from leases, the sale of natural resources, and various usage of licensing fees. Now, I tried to do some deep diving into licensing fees. That is a whole world I don't want to ever dive into again. The lawyers who do that, God bless your soul. I hope there's crowns or the best thing awaiting you wherever you are going in life, because that is a mess of like legal stuff. So I want to dive, what is licensing fees? It's very vague. I dived in it. What it means is like to make sure like for permits, like you have a license to be a contractor, a license to work, a license to be a food cook, a license to have your business running, a license to be taxed, a license to make sure you use the restroom, a license to make sure that you wake up in the morning, a license to make sure that you can brush your teeth legally in the morning, you know, these kind of things. That's essentially what licensing fees are. So, continuing, unlike personal income taxes, which support a variety of programs, these taxes are only used to fund Social Security, are only used to fund Social Security and Medicare. These funds are collected from your paycheck. So, you know, when you get your paycheck and let's use a Target paycheck for me, for example, I think I made like $600 to $700, every paycheck from Target, something like that. That's like revenue, right? Or gross, whatever. It's gross how much money they're taking from me, but you know, So you get that paycheck. Let's say you work to make enough to make like $800 that paycheck. Then you get the paycheck and it's like, oh, I only made like $715. What the heck? That's taxes. That's Uncle Sam taking this cut. Thank you for contributing to America. That's how U.S. really makes their money. And you can't opt out of it. Again, let me remind you, I know I'm throwing in funny jokes and stuff like this, but this is a point how the U.S. makes their money. This is how they make their money and what services they offer. That's the whole point of it. I'm just throwing funny commentary for great TikToks I'll make out of this inevitably. Not TikToks, because that's getting banned, but you know another thing. That's a joke. These funds are collected from your paycheck and in most cases matched by your employer. So your employer pays the same tax as you do. So you get taxed multiple times and then divide it into separate trust funds to support each of these programs. Let me break this down because this was a lot for me as I was taking notes, like understand. So that $800 paycheck we talked about, right? You get that paycheck, you only make $700 just to make the math easy. Your contributor, your employer, whoever pays you also throws in, let's just call it $50, right? Just to make it easy and just to simple to understand. I'm not sure if this math is correct percentage wise, but just so you can get an idea of what's going on. Then the government goes, thank you, citizen working. Thank you, employer, for employing citizen working. And they take that money, they put it in their books as income earned, and then they separate that $100 further into different programs like parks, taking care of people, national parks, leasing buildings, different services offered by the government. And that's how money moves. So, the last point here on where does the money come from? The majority of federal revenue comes from, again, they really make sure you know this. This is from their website themselves. They really make sure you know this. The majority of federal revenue comes from individual and corporate income taxes, as well as social insurance taxes, such as the Social Security taxes ascribed above. So let me catch you up with the overall points. The government made $4.9 trillion last year. They spent $6.27 trillion. Those spending goes into military, parks, housing, environmental protection, healthcare, public buildings, public libraries, education, court system, thousand things, literally. How do they make that money? Well, long story short, taxes, but different kinds of taxes. Individual taxes, corporate taxes, these kind of things. So that's where all the money comes from. Let me remind you, the three biggest income earners, where the money comes from the U.S. government, one being the biggest with over 50%, is individual taxes for everyday people like you and me and the rich, Social Security and Medicare taxes, and three, the donated to charity slice, corporate income taxes. There it is. That's the business of the government, and that's where the money comes from. Now, as you guys understand, you guys might be saying, hey, Kyle, so that's how they make their money, but most businesses offer a service, right? And I'd say, yeah, and then you would say, so what services are we, like, you know, like I know of some, but what services are being offered to me as a U.S. citizen or a U.S. taxpayer? Maybe I'm not a citizen, maybe I'm paying taxes, you know, there's lots of different situations out there. What's being offered in return? Because like I said, I'm going to remind you multiple times, we're looking at this from a point of business, not in political or social commentary. Even though I might make some jokes, this is the whole point of what we're looking at. That's a great question. Thank you for asking. You're a deep thinker, I can tell. Government offered services. This is a long list of like, I put like 20 in my notes. The list was like 50 plus. And I'm not even going to read all of these 20 on the list. So let me just do a little bit that you'd be aware with. Courts, education, emergency services, environmental protection, the military, public buildings, libraries, parks, policy, utilities, transportation, social services, schools, transportation, waste management, water supply, all these things. So, so many different things. Now, there's a big point I want to make here, but let me continue again. What is a public service? So these public services is essentially what the government's offering in return of revenue. Again, these are in form of taxes. You cannot escape them. You have to pay them. It's just the way it is right now. So this is a little bit different of a business of, but still important, because you can't just say, these services, I don't want them, so I'm not going to pay for it. Well, that's not exactly how this works. A little different, but nonetheless, what is a public service? What's the definition of a public service? Well, a public service may sometimes have the characteristics of a public good, but most are services which may be underprovided by the market. In most cases, public services are services. For example, they do not involve manufacturing of goods. They may be provided by local or national monopolies, especially in sectors that are natural monopolies. What's a public service? By this definition, it's something that's offered by your government or agency for free, and it doesn't cost anything. You're not making anything. There's no manufacturing of goods. You're not being handed a thing. You're being provided an experience. Huh? Would that be fair? Would you think that's fair to say? So that's what a public service is. And in the context of the U.S. government, these public services are offered and paid for, like how we just talked about, through taxes and licensing fees and stuff like this. So this is some great research about people's feelings about the services that are being offered. Again, this is, we're really zoning in on the services that are being offered from the government, looking at this from a business point of view. So from the Pew Research Center of the American View of Public Services offered by the government, this was a study they did, I believe, in 2015. I'd have to go to the article to double check, but this article is in the show notes, so please check it out. Let's just run through the general feeling. Because with any business that you pay for, there's Yelp reviews for it, right? Do people like it? Is the service good? Is the product good? All that good stuff. So let's talk about it. Let's see what the Americans think of the services that they have to pay for over here in the States. 65% of Americans say most political candidates run for office to serve their own personal interests and not the public's. That's the first point. Okay, whatever. Let's just move on. Let's talk about the service. The public's criticism of the federal government services are many and varied. Some are familiar. Just 6% say the phrase, careful with taxpayer money. So 6% of the people that they interviewed for this study said that the government in and of itself, in the entirety, say they're careful with their money. another 21% say that the federal government describes the federal government extremely, the federal government services, sorry, I can't read my note, 21% describe it as extremely or very well. And a comparable small share, only 8%, describes the government as being responsive to the needs of the ordinary Americans and its services. The federal government gets mixed ratings for handling specific issues through various services. Evaluations are highly positive in some respects. This may include some stuff like national parks, military protection, and terrorism threats protection as well, including for responding to natural disasters. 70% of the government says 70% of American taxpayers say that the government does a good job of this. I agree. I think preventing natural disasters is good and military stuff is good. Yeah, I'd say that's what a great service so far. And keeping the country safe from terrorism, 68% say that. And this study was of 2015 or 12. However, only about a quarter of Americans say the government has done a good job at managing the immigration system and helping people getting out of poverty, 20% each. Now, this is a big point because when a public service that the government does offer in exchange of your tax dollars revenue is Section 8 and housing and help people up. We're going to talk about that a little later. And the share giving the government a positive rating for strengthening the economy has declined 17 percentage points since 2020 from 54% to 37%. This was like an added thing. That part is new. The little bit of the survey earlier is older, but that's like a newer, like in accordion or in addition, some super like educational. This like is top quality. This. Obviously, right? Like 2020, everyone was down bad, bro. Your dog was down bad. I was down bad. Your mouse was down bad. Your fish, everyone was down bad, right? And I worked at Target during that time. So that's, imagine working at Target during like the pandemic. That was crazy. But from an economic point of view, yeah, down 54%, 37. Yet, Americans' unhappiness with government has long coexisted with their continued support for government having a substantial role in many realms, that being public services they offered. Like, people still need it because we built a system that needs that. And when asked how much the federal government does to address the concerns of various groups in the United States, there is a widespread belief that it does too little on issues affecting many of the groups asked about, including middle income people, those with lower income, and retired people. That whole last segment is the people that they studied for this survey, the people that they did for this. A lot of them say they don't do enough for people in the middle, lower incomes, or retired people. So these services are A1 for like rich people, but if you fall below that, 69%, nice, 66% and 65% of people in the middle, lower, and retired say they don't get that much taken care of. And these are, and this great research, there's a lot more like chunky stuff to bite into. Chunky just felt really weird to say there for some reason. Nonetheless, I'm sticking with it. A lot of good stuff for you to digest there. Please go ahead and read that article. It's really good. It's great. Lots of good information there. But that's just how the government, how the taxpayers, you and me, regular people, feel about the services being offered by the U.S. government. Now, we've talked a lot about how the government makes their money and how they spend our money. And let's be honest, they can definitely use an accountant. But hey, let's talk about the big topic, the quality of these services in America. And if you've listened this far, you have an idea of where this is going. Again, I'm going to make this point before we jump in here. You may be annoyed. I do not care. I want to make sure I am clear with my expectations. The goal here is to talk about the quality of services offered by a company, a government, in this context, a company, because the business of, generating $4.9 trillion a year. When I go over these, there will be some social implications and political implications, but I am keeping this strictly as this is the service that is being offered by a company, we know it is the government, that is making $4.9 trillion a year. And I could go through every service they offered and talk about the greats of it and talk about the negatives of it, literally for everything. But this episode would be 3 years long and no one would listen to it. So I've chose to focus on two. I added in the second one shortly before recording this to my notes. But 2 points of a good perspective of services offered and a bad perspective of services offered by the U.S. government. With that out the mind, let's talk about the bad first so we can feel better about ourselves at the first. Jumping into it, coming from a peer-reviewed report done on the issue of arrest and Section 8 housing done in 2014 by two MBA candidates at Texas A&M by the names of Jillian Carr and Vijetha Kopa. I apologize if I ruined your guys' name, but links to their article, their thesis, is in the description. Read it. That is a thick boy, but it's good. So we're talking about Section 8. Section 8 is one of the worst services being offered by the American government, and its goals and what it's trying to do as a service being offered to the American people has consistently missed the mark and consistently perpetrated what the U.S. government has tried to heal from. Now, like I said, there's a lot of social implications there about treating people better, setting them up better. I am strictly looking at this as this is a terrible service being offered by a company. We know them as a government. Why does this exist? Like, we might as well get rid of it. It doesn't work, right? So keep that in mind. So continuing, results indicate that some criminal outcomes actually increase while others remain unchanged due to Section 8 housing, receipts, and vouchers. They have found that the probability of being arrested for a violent offense in a quarter increases by 0.066 percentage points, which doesn't sound like a lot, but that's a 95% increase. Is the effect is primarily driven by men whose probability of arrest increases by more than twofold if allowed into Section 8 housing. So, how are we looking at this through the context? Well, this is a service that's being offered to Americans, but the service that says, hey, we're going to help give you housing, we're going to help get you on your feet so you can get going and be the best person you can be. That's the service, right? So imagine you paid for that service and you're actually getting the opposite. You paid for a service that says, hey, we'll take care of you, we'll help you get back on your feet, and we'll get you going. And then once you start participating in that service, you end up the opposite, down horrendous than you were beforehand. And if that was any other business, you would never buy from them again. Never. You wouldn't, right? But in this case, well, like I said, this is a little different because this is the government. You have to. Again, social implications are there, but we're strictly looking through this as a business and on quite honestly, a terrible service. So if you don't know what Section 8 is, it's essentially was something created in 1974. The Section 8 Housing Choice Voucher Program was supposed to help families move out of broken urban neighborhoods to places where they could live without constant threat or violence, their kids could attend good schools, and they can help better themselves socially and economically. Unfortunately, 50, 60, 80 years later, that is not being fulfilled in the way that Congress intended in 1974, this service that they offered. Somewhere along the way, Section 8 became a colloquialism for housing that is too many, indistinguishable from public housing properties that the program was designed to help families escape. Here's some numbers for you. Section 8 housing by far is one of the worst housing, and over 80% of landlords deny being Section 8 housing. So Section 8 is not like an area. They say the government comes to a certain land, property owner, whatever, and they say, hey, we have this great service called Section 8. After saying that, 80% of them, so 8 out of 10, said, no, thank you. That is not a service that we will help you provide. And there's actually some landlord testimonials in this, which I highly, highly recommend you go read, because most landlords want to offer it, but due to the government's ill-conceived motions of like how to help that, they actually back away. There's plenty of good like landlords out there. Of course, there are bad too, but I thought is like an added side piece. There's lots of good testimonies about talking about Section 8 landlords and their experience, and it was actually the government that made it worse. Of course, there were bad tenants and they talked about those, but we're talking in the context of the government as a business. And they said, actually, there's a lot of times where they didn't do that great either. So there's that. So how this works is families lucky enough to get off a lengthy list. It's a lottery system. Families get on the waiting list to hopefully get a ticket that will earn them Section 8 housing. And the idea is that the government would cover like 80% or 60% of the rent. And then the family would pay the rest, whatever that price is. That's long story short. I'm not going to like freaking, that's the long short of it, right? So one study in Austin found that there are plenty of apartments around the city that accepted Section 8, but even then, the family still could not afford. Only a small portion of these apartments would rent to Section 8 housing or accepted Section 8 housing, like we just talked about. Families don't have many choices as to where they can actually live with the use of the voucher, said Neshka Phoenix, which is in this article I'm reading. The Fair Housing Program Director at the Austin Tenants Council. Although there are properties that they could afford to live in, they don't because the properties don't take Section 8 housing. The point of Section 8 was to help families get out of the ghetto, but how the current system at the moment, this could change, probably not, maybe, I like to be an optimist, it keeps families in poverty now. Most other sectors of public service share the same issues that Section 8 housing has. Crime actually increases. It doesn't help you decrease crime. It devalues property by over 40% than if the property wasn't Section 8. And it's a rough system to get into. It's very hard. One in 60 families have a chance. And what was the time frame? It's all in this. So please read this. But they have a low chance of getting into this lottery system. It's overbooked, has a lot of people in it. Terrible. Terrible service being provided by a company that made $4.9 trillion last year. That's the point of this. Of course, there are social and political implications in this. I'm just going to say it. This needs to be better. But I'm looking at this through the eyes of this is a terrible service being offered by a business. I did the research, and the moral of the story is that even with $4.9 trillion in revenue, government services seem to be worse services offered in the states, and yet the government is one of the biggest companies revenue-based to exist in the states. How is it that over 50% of government funding is by the people and the services being offered fail those same people that fund it? Gave you some time there to think about that. Now, let's jump into something a little happier. One of the best things, services that are provided by the U.S. government is actually national parks and military. I'm going to focus on national parks because, you know, I've been to a couple, so I think I'm something of an expert, but I love the parks. Yosemite is beautiful. That is a national park thing. I think I've been to other national parks. But if I'm being honest with you, I can't remember which ones. You tell me some about, after this episode, DM me or something. Talk to me about your national park experience. Was it as beautiful as you think? Was it nice or was it not nice? Talk to me about that. I would love to talk. But my experience, and based on this study, America offers one of the best national parks preservations in the world. So most of America's parks, yes, there are some parks that are dirty and stuff. But on average, I think it said over half. Like 7 out of 10 of every national park is kept in almost pristine condition, taken real care of, and the people who work there care. I think that's a big point. Like the people who the government hires for this federal program of national parks, they honestly care about preserving history. So of course that would be the nicest thing. By large and far away, national parks is the nicest thing being offered with tour guides, with clean facilities, clean systems, and which is not surprising. Because these people who work there generally love what they do, love being in the outdoors, love being in parks, love taking care of the environment. So, of course, that would be the best place. I mean, I've been to Yosemite, the waterfall, Half Dome. Like, I mean, fantastic places. The trails are beautiful. The park rangers are usually nice. I think I've talked to one in the whole time I've been there. Very nice gentleman. I almost got Georgia. Could have caught Joseph. You know what I'm talking about? Georgia. We went there. We almost caught that. Like, it's a great time. National parks are great. I do love Yosemite. I've been Okay, also, weird thing. Every time I've gone to Yosemite, you guys know the waterfall one? Like, where you literally climb up a waterfall? I've done that every time. It's, like, my favorite. Every time we go there, we do that. We climb all the way to the top. We drink water. Get Giardia. Great time. But, yeah, national parks are a great service being offered. And it's a great place to be. So, if you've ever been to a national park, look up to what your closest one is. And I would definitely recommend going. Because it's, by and far, the best service being offered. Of course, with military protection, too. But parks are beautiful to look at. And if you've never been to one, make time to go. So, rounding the corner here. So, yeah, these are the services being offered, but we're making $4.9 trillion. Where's the rest of this money going? Where's all this money going if it's also not going to these services? Well, my friends, let me introduce you to someone. The U.S. public official. So, public officials pay and influence over government assistance, government public programs. Another vital part of a business, because these are the employees. These are who they pay. Let's talk about it. The salary of a politician, any politician, local, state, federal, anything like that, ranges from 0 to 6 figures in the United States, with those serving at local levels earning the least and those elected to state and federal offices earning the most. If you're thinking about running for public office, maybe even Congress, you're going to want to know what your paycheck looks like. So what does it look like? Actually depends on the job. Elected positions on your town council may come with a small stipend, but are usually unpaid volunteer positions, and there are millions of volunteer positions throughout the U.S. for national services, such as parks, like we talked about, and court systems, this kind of stuff. Most county-level elected positions come with a living wage, so your local politicians in your city and stuff like that. But it's really when you get to the state and federal level where politician salaries start to rise. Here's a look at politician salaries in the United States. This is also linked in the description, but I'm going to break it down for you. The president makes $400K a year. The VP makes $239. Congress makes $174 a year. Governors range from $70 to $201. State legislators range from $12,000 to $110. County legislators range from $17,000 to $189K, and local officials, their salary can range from $70K to $300,000 a year. These are the general ranges. Please check out the website. It dives into in-depth more of what those mean, but those are the ranges for the politicians serving our country. So, to fast forward a bit there, there are a few sites who break down the wealth advance of political figures. But usually, you see these Congress people coming in, earning that wage, and on average, you see them exiting multiple millionaires. All the stats are in the link below, but on average, you can see an elected federal position come in, making around a milli, and can leave around 10 million. That's kind of crazy, right? If you're making 40K a year as a public official, where's all this extra money coming from? Wait, that's not taxpayer money that... Wait a minute. So there's a few websites that break down the wealth advance of political figures and the unanimous top two contributors to the increase of wealth in political figures, and you know how much they make, seems to be on speaking deals and book royalties. Don't get me wrong, I've seen a few of these books, bestseller books from presidents and Congress and local officials, but enough to increase their net worth by over a range from 1 million to 25 million? That's a little weird. For example, Stephen King has written most of his life, his net worth is 500 million, but he hit most of that actually rather recently in terms of decades. So how are we having elected politicians entering the workforce and leaving in 4 to 10 years making that much money? Well, I hate to introduce you to this. This is why I said I'm sane. I would never hurt myself. There is something called insider trading and lobbying. What is that? Well, let's dive into how the wealth advance of the politicians goes so high so quick. I have attached a great article, book, please read it. Cashing In on Capitol Hill, Insider Trading and the Use of Political Intelligence for Profit, University of Pennsylvania Law, Volume 1. This is a great resource in talking about. So here's an example where we're going to step into this. We're not going to spend too much time on this, but I want to make you aware of it because I feel it's pertinent containing the information we're talking about. We've talked about how much the government makes, what services they offer, the quality of services, but we haven't talked about their employees yet. Here's the employee section, the employees of the U.S. government. Now, if there is an employee taking money from the government or like using that experience to get more money out of other, let's say you work at Apple, you go and tell Samsung, this is very simplified, but I'm trying to make the point. Hey, Samsung, I'm Apple, or an employee of Apple. I know this thing. I could help you out to make better phones, but I have to talk to some higher ups at Apple. They're not going to like the fact I'm talking to a Samsung, so you're going to have to help me out a little bit here in terms of financing. And I can help you get something going at Samsung. We got a lot of power over here at Apple. Samsung thinks about it. Huh. Apple is bigger than us. They could help us. I just have to scratch his back and he'll scratch mine. Samsung goes, you know what, Apple? You got yourself a deal. Talk to your higher ups. You have a good position. I'll help you out. You help me out. Apple, well, shrugs off their hands. No problem. No problem. I'll go talk to the higher ups. Talk to the higher ups. They do something that no one sees. Samsung stock surges. Apple, hey man, we got you. You scratch my back, you scratch my back, your back. I hope that makes sense because that's essentially what insider trading is. When you have the power of a high position to change how certain laws and stuff is viewed. Anyways, read Cashing In on Capitol Hill. It is a fantastic resource. It is thick with information, so make sure, like, if you read that, to watch YouTube about it, very good. It's actually a problem. So these employees of the U.S. government have been caught doing this, and this is very well known and literally, like, known publicly. Anyways, read that, and it dives in depth about the known and verifiable issues of political figures using their influence to trade stocks and promote laws that benefit shareholders financially and using their sphere of influence to generate cash flow and investments in their own personal interest and masking it as for the good of U.S. Now, this is going to be a weird comment on the top, on the basis of government spending. But you know that whole TikTok thing where that's like trying to get banned? Do you know who started that problem? Like started diving into it, making a fuss about it? Meta. And what's Meta? Facebook. And do you know the percentage of congressmen and women who own shares of Meta? Interesting. Interesting. I'll leave that for you to chew on. I will break down some key items of info, but if you don't hear anything else, then hear me say this. Go read this and educate yourself as to why the public services are subpar and the private services for those public officials are great. Government officials have recently been scrutinized. This is very recent. This has been going on for a while, but luckily us Zoomers and millennials are sticking together and sticking it to the man. Government officials have recently been scrutinized for using information acquired in the performance of their official public duties to gain market trading advantages. Lobbyists have similarly been criticized for collecting material, non-public political information from Capitol Hill contacts and selling it to their clients, notably hedge funds, who presumably use the information in their market transaction. Kyle, what does that mean? You just said a lot of things. It means that politician A owns stock in company A. So when company A comes to politician A and says, hey, like, I know you're an owner. This law is kind of getting us down bad right now. You know, could you say something to, you know, to your friends over there and like make sure like money still is going smooth, that the laws favor us? Politician A goes, hey, no problem. I own stock. Of course I want to keep the stock good because I own it. Of course, I'm making this decision of my own financial interest and not in the public interest of the people. Of course, man. No problem. They dap up, they leave. 2 days later, Politician A announces this great new law for Company A, and the stock surges. That, my friends, right there is insider trading. Also, what lobbying? So lobbying, let's say Dave. Dave goes out and Dave works for the U.S. government. And Dave sits in a little meeting where they talk about, hey, like this public business is talking to us. We might do a deal with them. We might do some business with them because they're failing in this. Dave goes, huh, so the U.S. government is going to be working and collecting information on these public businesses that aren't going that good, and they're going to investigate them. Dave, of course, keeps this information to himself, but he goes and meets up with hedge fund managers who buy and sell and share tons of stocks, billions of dollars worth. Dave goes, hey, hedge fund manager. He won't say it exactly because, you know, laws prohibit him, but he's still doing it somehow. He'll say, you know what, hedge fund manager, I just think this company A might be doing something bad lately. I don't know if I've heard anything specific, but something might be going down pretty soon and not in a good way. Hedge fund manager goes, oh, interesting. If you were to hear about this, what company would this be? Well, it's not confirmed, but it might be this company. And maybe it might be something definitely really bad. And as he's saying that, hedge fund manager's sliding a dollar across the table. Of course, no one sees it. Very slowly. He goes, yeah, I think that's about it. Dave grabs the dollar, puts it in his pocket. But yeah, I think that's about the long short of it. Hedge fund manager goes, have a great day, Dave. Selling information. Lobbying. That has been proven time over time. This is what's happening. This is what is happening in the U.S. government. And it's verifiable. Plenty of occurrences of it. And we're going to talk about the most recent occurrence here. But these are what members of the employees of the U.S. government are doing. Is this insider trading? Gray area, based on the language around it in the law. Should it be insider trading? 1,000% yes. A few members of Congress have responded by introducing legislation in the past 3 Congresses that would bring in trading on this political intelligence by government insiders and outsiders under the umbrella of the federal securities law. That's a lot of words. What does that mean? Some people, a few people in Congress, are trying to stop this and make it extremely illegal and clear up the language that makes sure it's illegal. That's what that says. Unsurprisingly, the legislation has failed to garner significant political support. That's interesting. Not at all. Makes sense. But a renewed fervor for cleaning up Washington's ushered by the Obama administration, coupled with the current economic crisis, has reinvigorated the campaign, which I just talked about. This is a big deal right now, a huge deal. And a lot of people my age, the Zoomers and Millennials, are really making a fuss about it because it should be made a fuss about. The legislation was reintroduced and received a hearing. This is all the way back in 2009, but this is also happening today early as 2022. And recent academic scholarship is now calling for the passage of this legislation in order to bring trading and political intelligence under the federal regime of insider trading. That is what's happening. These are plenty of things happening, right? So U.S. federal security laws police abusive insider trading practices that threaten the integrity of the financial markets and threaten the good of the American people. Corporate insiders who possess material non-public information in their firms should disclose this information and stay far away, as the law suggests. In recent years, the investment behavior of elected public officials has received scrutiny, of course, like we just talked about. Additionally, the practice of political outsiders acquiring information that's non-public, political information from Capitol Hill, have received a great deal of publicity, which they have. Hedge funds employ Washington lobbyists. If you forgot what a lobbyist, it's Dave who sold that information, sold to that hedge fund, to gather political intelligence that is then presumably relied upon about the market-making experience. So, As someone who's a Zoomer and has experience in trading and owning companies, I have traded options and I do own companies. I can tell you that insider trading and influence on the public market is extremely visible to you and me. And actually, you have seen this. You have seen what I'm talking about. You ever heard of GameStop? You remember GameStop? Now, I'm going to give you a very simplified version of it, but here you go. So, you've heard some everyday people like you and me became millionaires from trading options on GameStop, which led to a whole Reddit being shut down temporarily and individuals posting on this Reddit being questioned by U.S. officials, and it almost led to the arrest of one individual. When everyday people do it, big problem. I'm not going to recap everything, but I'm going to give the spark notes on why it happened and how huge funds and political figures do exactly what I'm going to explain to you. But when everyday people do it, it's a problem. So, hedge funds and political figures, like we just talked about, share the same information and they agree when a stock isn't worth that much and they put selling pressure on the stock. This is what happened with GameStop. Political figures and hedge funds said GameStop's not good. Let's put selling pressure on it. Everyday people who are on Reddits like Wall Street's Bet and others noticed this and created buying pressure. To give it some time, and finally the huge corporations, let me back up, I misread my notes. So everyday people noticed this, and they said, hey, these political figures, they're like all agreeing to sell a stock and put the price down. What if we come in and do the opposite, and we put buying pressure on it? So, that's what happened. Now, let's fast forward a couple of months, give it time, and finally the huge corporations, due to the details of how stock and options trading works, which I'm not going to dive into. You can dive into option trading, but just to simplify this. Due to how the stock and options trading work, they can't afford a rising stock position, which creates huge pressure to the upside. So they have to buy as well due to this pressure that everyone else has created. And then where you get the run-up where GameStop goes to $27,000 in literal seconds, making over 1,000 people millionaires on the spot. That's what happened. Everyday people saw selling pressure from government officials and hedge funds, and they said, hey, that's kind of not cool. If they can do that, we can do that too. Political figures do this all the time. Hedge funds, this happens all the time. Like was stated earlier, there's a lot of gray area in law, so it may look like, yeah, that's illegal, but due to law and language of the law, it's a gray area. Political figures do this all the time. They get together with top officials for companies, hear about problem. They're offered some kind of stock or equity or ownership of a company. If they can help get their company ahead in any kind of way, usually it's legalities and law, they will be finally compensated with some sweet, sweet equity. They take this offer and create a system of lobbying for this cause, which will be marketed as good for you, but they do not knowingly disclose the equity or stake incentive that is certain political figure may or may not have. Now, who's the big bad of them all that does this incredibly well? Well, regardless of what political affiliation, she's been caught doing this. She got charged and nothing came out of it. But you know her. I know her. Nancy Pelosi. More recently, Nancy Pelosi is the queen of insider trading and have faced heat for quadrupling her network in office due to verifiable insider trading, which she had faced accusations which came to nothing, and has now created a movement to pressure officials to, which is now, due to that Nancy Pelosi situation, has created a movement to pressure officials to not allow any sort of equity or financial incentive when dealing with laws for corporations which may have ties to political figures. That's the big skinny of it. That's the big short of it. That is a real thing that's happening. It's a big problem. Now, I know I went a little bit of a rant because I was like alive during the whole GameStop thing and like seeing that and learning about it and talking about it with my cohorts and some of my friends and like seeing that play out. That was so crazy to me because I'm like, these are bringing it back now to the business of government. I know I got a little bit of a tangent there. These are employees of the government who have conflicts of interest, both with the state of the goods of the people of America and their own financial interest. So this is a problem. This is something that's being taken, like, hopefully will be taken care of. That's a lot of pressure on lawmakers. If you love to learn more, just look up insider trading and lobbying and, like, different ways you can sign up and be helpful if that's something you're interested in. But the point of it is this. This is the business of the American government. They make $4.9 trillion a year last year. They spent $6.27 trillion last year. This year, they're planning to make $6.2 trillion. And this year, they're also on schedule to spend $4.9 trillion. Their biggest contributions come from taxes in just different forms. Individual taxes, Social Security tax, corporate tax. It all comes in different forms, but it's still taxes. What services do they offer? They offer tons of public service goods, like public locations, transportation, schools, education, waste management, water supply, education, emergency services. These are the services they offered. They're called public services. Most Americans do not like most of the public services being offered, but there are plenty of good and bad services, both that need fixing and both that do not. And the employees themselves of the U.S. government use their power as employees for this business to create better financial incentives for themselves, which may have led to negative services, which probably is leading to bad services being offered by a company who makes $5 trillion a year. There it is, folks. That's it. We just recapped everything. I just told you everything I told you. That's a public speaking habit, by the way. Here we are. Here we're sitting with it. There it is. What do you think? And I said, we answered all the questions we started. The questions were, how much money does the U.S. government make a year? Where do public officials get their paychecks? Who provides the services? Are they good? And the last question, which I'm leaving for you to answer, I'm not going to answer it. I have my ideas. You have your ideas. You think about it. Does the U.S. profit on its own people from a business perspective? That's something you have to sit with and you have to think about. Once again, I am healthy, I am not crazy, and I wouldn't hurt myself. But yeah, there it is. There it is. I hope you guys enjoyed. Maybe you get some education on what's going on with, you know, what's going on. And like I said, this whole thing is from a point of view of how the U.S. government makes money, what they're doing to make money, and yeah, the business of the U.S. government. That's it. I hope you guys enjoyed. Please give me your feedback on this episode. What are your thoughts? What do you think? How is this going for you? Do you disagree or not agree with anything I said, or disagree or agree with any of the points that were brought up in articles and stats and anything like that? And let me leave you on a great positive note in the Kyle Talks fashion. You are loved. You are cared for. More so than you even know, you are a valuable person, incredibly valuable. And if you need a reminder, let me know and I can remind you again. You guys are loved. I can't wait to talk to you on Ficonomy. Lots of crazy stuff going on in the finance world. And I can't wait to see you next time on Kyle Talks.